Blog Talk Radio.
Before we get into that, I want to apologize to all my listeners for not going on the air last Sunday. Last week was a really hard week. You know, because we have this global pandemic going on, and, you know, we're approaching fast 500,000 people dying here in the United States. And those numbers, once we reach 500,000, is more than all of the soldiers we lost in World War I, World War II, and Vietnam combined. And some of us still have not had someone close to us die. But some of us have had many people around us die. And I had a very close friend who has been on this show at least two or three times, by the name of Joy Tranum. And Joe was a freedom fighter. Fought very hard for those who were oppressed. He fought hard to level the playing field for all Americans. And COVID took my brother. And it was hard on me because the last time we had spoken, we were in disagreement politically. Now, both of us were nominally on the same team. And he was having problems with establishment Democrats trying to push forward an agenda that we've pretty much accepted as being normal now, which is a progressive agenda. He was pushing it, and he was getting pushback. And some of the things that were done to Joy are unforgivable. And one of the reasons that I accepted the current position that I have in the Democratic Party of Georgia was to help fight battles for folks like Joy. And Joy felt like I had become just another establishment Democrat. And in a lot of ways, he was correct. I started thinking in terms of political capital and all these other buzzwords and things, conventional wisdom and all this other stuff that we happen to think about in politics. And the thing is that a lot of people understood that Joel was right. But people wanted to save face, not because we didn't want to upset some of the people who had done wrong, because they were donors and people we thought we needed to flip Georgia. What we needed to flip Georgia was people like Joy Traynor. Joy Traynor went around to some of our county parties and helped train them on how to organize. Gave them the blueprint on how to organize. And those county parties executed that training in 2020 and flipped Georgia. We'd have been better off having Joy Traynor on the inside, but we pushed him to the outside. And when I realized he was sick with COVID, and Joy was living in California at the time, and we weren't in direct contact with each other, but I was hoping and praying that he would survive so that I could apologize. And this is just like everything else. There are people in this world who we love and we hold dearly, and we think tomorrow is promised. But tomorrow isn't promised. So if there are people out there who you have issue with, and it really shouldn't be an issue because you know that they're right. If there are people out there you love, but you are holding back because of some preconceived notion of wokeness, or this is what society says today, and it causes you conflict, do what your heart tells you. Your heart says love that person, love that person. Don't worry about what society is telling you, because many of us are missing out on some of the greatest relationships we can have in our lives, not just romantically, not just through friendships, not just family, but just period. Because we all have allowed the things inside of our society that tells us that we're on one side or the other, that this person is wrong or this person is bad, or I can't deal with that because that's toxic, or this, that, and the other. And some things, yes, you don't have to deal with. But we become really freaking sensitive. We don't struggle and fight together anymore, because we've gotten it in our head because everybody posts on social media all these pictures of happiness and them living their best lives, that I don't have to struggle. I don't have to fight. I don't have to go through uncomfortable things. And that's causing us a lot of mental stress and bad mental health. Today, this show will be condensed only to an hour, because I'm going to be getting in my car and I'm headed to Athens to celebrate the life of my friend Joy Traynor with other friends. We will be masked and we will be socially distanced. This does nothing. The number of us together will be limited. But we have to. Some of our friends will be joining us by Zoom because they may not be able to get to Athens. So some of them are have immune deficiencies, immune compromised, other things. And I had survivor's guilt behind this because me and Joy were sick both with COVID around the same time. He thought that he was getting better. And we have to realize that there's going to be a lot of lingering effects to this disease, this virus. And we're going to have to prepare ourselves that more and more of us are going to have to adjust our lives when the new normal finally comes about. We won't be the same. So I just want to say publicly and on the air, since Joy has graced his presence on this show several times to talk about progressive issues, Joe, I miss you, brother. I love you, brother. And I hope to see you on the other side one day. All right. Well, let's get to the crux of this show. It's February. and we've been celebrating Black history. And I was sitting back thinking over the last week, we celebrated, we talk about, and we talk about the heroes of the diaspora, the heroes of Black America, and we name them and we talk about their accomplishments and this, then the other. But as a whole, do we truly study Black history? We celebrate it, but do we study it? And a month is not good enough to study. Are we taking our daily lives and dedicating a part of a day or a part of a week or whatever to really get down into history of why the people who performed these great acts, why did they perform them? What was the need behind it? You know, why did, you know, Charles Drew invent plasma? You know, why did he go into the first open heart surgery? Why did, you know, Benjamin Banneker do what he did? Why did George Washington Carver, you know, take and experiment with the peanut? You know, why did Marcus Garvey start the Black, you know, Star Line? What was his purposes? What was his goals? How did he end up? Why did he fail in that? Why did Malcolm, Martin, and Fred Hampton and many other Black leaders lose their lives for trying to unite not just our people, but the American people all together? Because the reason we study history is to understand where we come from so that we will know where we are going. To celebrate it is great, but we must study this. I mean, and we get and to understand in totality, we just can't study African-American history. We have to study history of Africa. We have to study the history of Brazil, the history of Haiti, the history of Jamaica, the history of Mexico, the history in Canada, where all the different places, the history of Great Britain and their diaspora citizens. Because we, as Black people, people of African descent, have spread across this planet. We live in places like Sweden, Russia, India, China, Japan, Australia. We live in the countries of South and Central America. We live in places that you probably wouldn't even think there are Black people living. There's communities of us all over the world working, educating, building, fighting. Why are we there? How did we get there? What are we doing there? And how can our collective experiences help build a stronger African people? Because I am a descendant of slaves. And those slaves came from Africa. Do I know who are the peoples that I descend from? Because I don't necessarily like the word tribe sometimes. Because I don't, do all of African, you know, ethnic groups consider themselves tribes? These are nations. And if you understand the scale from to nationhood, because, you know, you have clans, you have families, you have clans, you have tribes. You have ethnic groups. You have nations. And there are some people on this planet who consider themselves whole nations that are smaller than some of the peoples that we consider tribes in Africa. have to really sit back and think about. And history, and this is why history, studying history is important, because we have to sit back and think about why we do what we do. We have to sit back and think about why we are who we are. And how we're going to move forward. I make a habit of listening to foreign news service, not just the BBC and Deutsche Welle and, France 24 and those European news agencies, which all have an African branch. But I also listen to Al Jazeera, and I listen to Pulse Ghana, and I listen to the Nigerian news agency. And I try to read, and I listen to the Chinese, and I listen to the Indian. And I'm trying to understand what is going on globally. And every once in a while, more than not, there are stories about us in the diaspora mixed into the stories of what's going on with the people who are considered native of these nations. Because Africa is important. Black people are important. But here in America, we are so consumed with what's going on with inside of our own borders that we sometimes miss out one, that we are citizens of an empire. Yes, the United States of America is a constitutional republic that we choose our leaders by democratic means most of the time. And we have a reach unparalleled by any other nation on the face of the planet Earth. And we, African Americans, have been taking part in this for at least the last 100 years. When our first major overseas adventure, the Spanish-American War, there were black soldiers that charged. The charge of San Juan Hill was led by black soldiers. Black soldiers fought in the Philippines. Black soldiers then went on to fight in World War I. Black soldiers were, when we were doing gun diplomacy in China. Black men, that was the military force in the early 20th century. Wasn't just men, but black men were setting their eye upon the creation of the American Empire from the beginning. And those black men who came from these far-flung foreign adventures came home with a different idea. They came home usually more aware than the average black man that was living in their town and cities inside of their neighborhood. Because we had seen that the world was different than it was here in America. A lot of the ideas of freedom and rooting out oppression came from men who had traveled the world globally. They learned the history of the world by seeing. And then they started studying and asking questions about who we were and who we could be. And this is when you see I would consider the second great awakening. Because the first Great Awakening was a religious experience that took place in mid-1800s, in which African-American clergymen, some of them being slaves, realized that the way that we were being taught about Jesus. Was wrong, and it was being used to oppress us. And it led to the formation of several African American denominations, or the reformation of several African American denominations within inside of Christianity. And we have, and we study, we need to study our history because we get in so many different aspects. We get people who bring pseudo-history to us, and I'm not going to knock anybody's, you know, movements or whatever, but some of these things are not based on any historical facts at all. We're piecing together narratives and making them fit to try to understand who we are, instead of really understanding who we are. Like, I hear many of my brothers and sisters who denounce Christianity, for instance. Oh, that's not the religion of the black man. Why isn't it? Some of the first Christian churches that were formed even before Christianity even made it to Europe were formed on the African continent. Look at the nation of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is one of the longest, oldest nations on the planet whose majority religion is Christianity. And they were not converted by some Jesuit missionary or some Protestant missionary. There's a whole separate Ethiopian Orthodox Church that predates Catholicism, predates the Greek Orthodox Church or the Roman or the Russian Orthodox Church. They have their own Bible that has books in it that we don't see because they were not under the Council of, they didn't have to deal with the Council of Nicaea. And the Christianity that was spread, that was existed in Africa upon their arrival of the European Christian missionaries, were usually offshoots of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Again, understanding and studying our history and understanding that we are rejecting things because we feel like from a standpoint that we've been taught a history that is very permeated by white supremacy. That, oh, it was the white man started. So it was the white man, since the white man started, it's bad, but really we started it. The white man adapted it. And now we're rejected. But then you have to look at that at the same time, a couple of hundred years later. Well, closer to 1,000, maybe. You had the spread of Islam. And whereas the Christian nations of Europe played like they defended the faith, we don't talk about how the Ethiopians fought that same battle. And how the Ethiopians also participated in the Crusades. We don't talk about that because there's no way that Africa played a role in some of the significant historical aspects of Christianity. No, there's no way that that's a white man's religion. Listen to us tell it. Some of our people tell it, who are telling us and teaching us the history that is again founded in white supremacy. And not understanding that some of the animosity that comes toward us as Africans by Europeans is based on the fact that when the Islamic expansion was taking place and they took over the the Iberian Peninsula, that there were West African soldiers, North African soldiers, East African soldiers, because the Islamic nations were very cosmopolitan and diverse. But there were soldiers from all over Africa who we know as Moors. And some of these Moors rose to prominence and became leaders of these caliphates that ruled over Spain and Portugal and were a major thorn in the side of the European power, from Albania all the way to France. And how significant the role we play in the period from the Dark Ages to the Enlightenment. And how only those of us in America don't know what was going on. But the Europeans know very well. I mean, it was only when we start seeing the colonialization of Africa in the late 1800s, you know, based off of the, you know, Berlin Conference, then they decided they was going to split up a whole other continent between themselves or their corporation, that for them to be able to do that, that they had to come up with reasons why they needed to go and do what they were going to do, which was colonize, split up Africa, and rape up her resources. This is why we study Black history. Because some of the things about Black history can't be celebrated. We can't celebrate the destruction of empires, the separation of people, the exploitation of human bodies. But we can't study those events so that we understand where we sit today and why. The history of Black people is very interesting, because even us as Americans have a very diluted sense of what Africa was. There's certain things we hear and we talk about, but as our scholars start to, you know, dig deeper into their studies, then we start understanding where we come from, because some of us as African Americans do not want to claim our African descent, because, again, we're coming from a point that our history here is still rooted in the soil of white supremacy, that we see Africa as an inferior place. And because we are trying to build a culture here based on pride and greatness, that we want to take the white man's view of what Africa is. And a lot of us think that there are people running around in the jungles with lawn claws on and this, that, and the other, and the third, and that there's no modernity in Africa, that people are living in mud huts and this, that, with grass roofs and stuff like that, not understanding there are whole metropolitan cities sitting on the continent that are just as modern as some of our cities here in the United States. That they've built infrastructure very similar to what we have here in the United States. Now, is it a one-to-one
No, it isn't, because these are still countries that are trying to develop economies to compete in global markets, and we see this. But yet, because here in America, the African American people do not understand, because we are still so consumed with talking about our issues, not understanding that every other diaspora has taken a keen interest to his homeland, regardless of how long they have been gone and investing in it. I was listening to the Ghanaian president this morning as he talked about Africa developing, and he was sitting next to the French president Macron, and he was talking about how we as Africans, regardless of where we are, need to invest in Africa. And this is just not and if we were studying our history, we would understand the importance of why we need to do this. We're sitting here now, and let me say this, and let me be very clear. I do believe in the reparations movement. There's a debt owed, and the checks need to be cut. However, the debt is not our only path. Because we watch the dog and pony shows that are going on. And historically, these dog and pony shows have been going on since the end of the Civil War and during a period of Reconstruction. There may be a chance that we may not see this. So are we going to wait for people to give us something that we can go take? And when I mean take, I mean we go over there and we take our behinds over there and we go to build it. We invest. Because there's a lot of African leaders who realize, and I don't think we as African-Americans realize this, that the main key point to us being African-Americans is that we are Americans. We've been educated, even though sometimes we feel like our educational outcomes are not as great as our white brethren. But we've been in the integrated school system for some time now. We have some of the best educational programs in our HBCUs. Top medical facilities, top engineering programs, top agricultural programs. Everything that it takes to build a sustainable economy, we are teaching our people here in America. And the reason wealth is usually gained is because people go somewhere where there's an opportunity that exists. There's a vacuum. And in Africa, there's a vacuum. And if we're studying our history, we'd understand that when you take capital and you take labor and you take resources and put them together, you can build wealth. And what has been happening with Africa is that people are taking the resources and moving it to where there's capital and labor and building wealth and leaving these people with nothing. And they are realizing in Africa now that we can hold our own resources, we can produce here, but they also understand that there's a group of people who look like them, who are descended from them, who have the knowledge. And they want us to come help. Now some of us say, why are we going to go over there and help them build a nation and do that and other? Because we can get rich. That's what the Chinese are doing to them. They want infrastructure. We're going to give it to them. And then they realize, oh, we can stay. Just take and send this stuff back to China and make ourselves richer. We can do the same thing. We can go to Africa. We ain't got to live there. We can go build us a couple of houses. Because, you know, that's what rich white people do. You know, the rich white people, I'm sure Bill Gates got somewhere to lay his head in Shanghai that he owns. You know, people have, you know, rich white people have homes in Europe. They have homes in South America. They have homes in Asia. So why can't we go over there and have homes in Africa and have homes in America and have homes in Dubai and have homes in China and this, that, and the other because of the wealth we will be building in Africa? And at the same time, learning who we are from the standpoint of our ancestors. You know, I've talked a lot about Eidos in the show, and one of the things they talk about is legacy. Lineage matters. Lineage matters. But my lineage doesn't stop in 1619. There was somebody who came here starting then, who I'm descended from. Where are they from? Who are they? What birthright am I missing out on that was taken from me that I'm now being told that I can come back and get? Study Black history. There's so much that we miss out on a daily basis, on a yearly basis, because we are still looking at our history from the standpoint of a history that was taught for us that is rooted in the soil of white supremacy. We have to do better. We have to take time and do better about studying our history. We have to do better about understanding who we are as a people. Not just here in America, but throughout the whole diaspora. And for my white listeners, do not be offended. Because when this is one of the things we realize here in America, but when black people rise, everybody rises. So I want you to think about this on a global scale. If there could be a sustainable, growing African wealth foundation, think of all the markets that will open up for all the different technologies. Think about the technologies that we don't even have yet that will be invented by an African, whether that African is a Nigerian, a Ghanaian, a Libyan, an Egyptian, or an American, or Brazilian, or Mexican. There are things that we have not even dreamt up yet because we're still depending on a Western idea. And it also, we think about our history, we continue to separate the world in terms of East and West. But what about North and South? There's going to be a great awakening out of the South. And I'm not talking about Northern United States and Southern United States. I'm talking about Southern Hemisphere versus Northern Hemisphere. Northern nations in the Northern latitude versus the nations in the Southern latitude. When we talk about those nations that exist south of the Mediterranean Sea, south of the Gulf of Mexico, the nations of Oceania, the nations of the Indian Ocean realm, the South Atlantic, there's a lot for us to be taken into account. And this is why we must spend time studying our history, and understanding who we are as a people. Because we do ourselves a disservice by just celebrating African history, Black history. We need to study. So I got a challenge for each of you that are listening, and pass this challenge along. Pick a subject, any subject, any person, any movie, and study that person, subject, movement, time in history, nation, event, for a year. Dig deep into it. Get an understanding and see how your worldview will change. Follow every rabbit trail it sends you down. Then go back and file them up and run down. I know many of us that like watching television here have used to watching the show American Gods, and we were kind of upset that they got rid of the one African that we had, which was Mr. Nancy. And Mr. Nancy was set upon the African god Anansi, who was the god of stories. And stories is where history. Because usually our history is passed down through stories. We have to know our story. It's important. We have to do better. We have to understand who we are. We have to understand that a lot of the history that we've been taught again is rooted in white supremacy. So you're going to have to work on this, people. You're going to have to go past what the white man wants you to know, what they put in books from us. We have to let some of our hotepery go, because we're piecing stuff together, trying to make ourselves fit into a white narrative, instead of trying to figure out how we fit into a human narrative. Then the light bulb comes on. Understanding how nation states were built, how they rose and how they fell, to understand the migrations of human beings, to understand the evolution of different economic theories, and how we fit into that. To even understand that when we talk about classical philosophy, which is usually based on the Greeks, that some of those Greeks were Africans that were living in a Hellenistic world. That some of the great Stoics were actually not white Southern Europeans, but Africans. And that we don't even realize that there were Roman emperors who were black. There were queens of England who were black. That there are some of the great Russian, there was a great Russian composer, black. Military figures that were in Europe, black. Even in Asian history. You know, the Mongol Empire had black people serving in many senior roles. There were black people involved in the empires of South Asia. We were prominent figures in the Islamic expansion. We were prominent figures in the independence movement of the New World. Here in the Americas, we as black people have played a part in nearly every major historical event known to mankind. Yet we want to focus here in America on what happened between 1619 in 2021 that start with us coming off of a boat in Jamestown, Virginia in chains. This is why we must study black history in its entirety. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. And so, you know, I was always, you know, I said I would talk about black businesses and black goings on and just any other. This coming, upcoming week, there's a very important virtual event. The Georgia African Connection Week, being hosted by Friend of Down South and Dirty and, Devisha L. Johnson and D.F. Johnson Consulting and her many entities is being sponsored by a lot of different organizations of the diaspora. So you can go on Facebook, Twitter, and all of the, and you just look it up, Georgia African Connection. And it all culminates at the end of the week with the Georgia, with the Global Black History Honors Awards Ceremony on next Saturday. This starts Wednesday, February 24th. And there's going to be artists doing live performances from across the diaspora. There are going to be revolutionary leaders from Africa talking. There are going to be revolutionary leaders from here in the Americas giving discussions, political leaders, entertainers, business leaders, all talking about how Georgia can connect itself economically and culturally to the rest of the diaspora. How we as black people here in the state of Georgia connect ourselves to the diaspora. I will place links later on today on Down South and Dirty's page So there are right now there are some free tickets available. So when I post it, y'all better move quickly. There are sponsorships. So if you want to, you as a black business or an African business, want to take part in this, there are sponsorships available and spaces available. It's a very good event. And Down South Dirty is very proud to be working in conjunction with them on the backside. We are working as a helping with production. So this is Black History we are creating. So when I post this up later on today, go check it out. Come kick it with us. Learn some things. Understand what's going on with the diaspora. And really just enlighten yourself. Because that's what we're here for. That's our purpose. We got one more show for Black History that will be taking place next week. On the 28th, the last day of Black History. I hope to have a little panel together for that show. Because I kind of want to close out Black History Month on a big tip. So be waiting toward the middle of the week to find out what we're going to be talking about. Because we're going to probably promo this a little earlier than we normally do. We're trying to get back to the cycle. Maybe you know what we're doing by Wednesday. Instead of, you know, popping it up on Saturday. Maybe you know what we're doing. You know, a lot of you may be missing out just because of the fact that you haven't gotten the... There's so much virtually going on now that what you want to watch and listen to just takes up so much time. But we appreciate each of our listeners. And we look forward to continuing bringing you information and education and news from the eyes of black people. So just stay tuned. Big things are coming. This is Down South and Dirty. And we're out.